John chapter 4, this is the ninth message from the Gospel of John, and it will go on the web. It's the woman leaves her pitcher, P-I-T-C-H-E-R. And I'd like Sam to come up this morning and read to us verse 25 to 42 of John chapter 4.
John chapter 4, we begin at verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messias cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that they would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. May the Lord bless his word and message today.
Father, again today we see this wonderful account, and indeed, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And so, Father, we have seen this, and we see how it was manifested to this lady. And Lord, again, how she immediately caught a vision of the harvest fields. And so, Father, this morning, do bless, if we're speaking to one that does not know thee as Savior, how we pray, Lord, that they would come to know thee today. And for all of us, Lord, as we open the scriptures, that we'll have that closer walk with thee, and experience what this lady experienced of the well of life springing up into everlasting life through our hearts as it goes to others. We pray this now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Well, this is a wonderful account, and the woman at the well and every line, we'd love to spend much more time with it, but it is certainly a great account for us. And we have seen in these early chapters of Genesis, that's Thursday night. Join us on Thursday night. We're coming to the end of Genesis. However, this morning is John. We have this problem from time to time. But the term presentation is the key in these early chapters of John. And in chapter one, he was our Savior, was presented to the disciples of John the Baptist. In chapter 2, he's presented at a wedding. At the end of chapter 2, he's presented in the temple. In chapter 3, he's presented to a ruler of the Pharisees, Nicodemus. And here in chapter 4, he's presented to the woman at the well. We saw that as we've gone through these early chapters of John, certainly beginning with chapter 3, there's a number of musts, M-U-S-T-S. Chapter 3, verse 3, ye must be born again. Chapter 3, verse 14, Christ must be lifted up. Chapter 3, verse 30, he must increase, but we must decrease. Chapter 4, verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Chapter 4, verse 24, I believe, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so there's a number of musts in these early chapters. Very good. It's good to kind of connect. I don't like to use this term, but you kind of connect the dots the way truths are presented. And there's another way truth has been presented. It's presented in a physical way, but it may have been taken that way to begin with, but in fact it pictures a spiritual way. In chapter 3, Christ spoke of a spiritual birth, but Nicodemus thought it was a physical birth. And in chapter 4, he talks about spiritual water, but the lady thought it was physical water. And at the end of chapter 4, he speaks of spiritual food, but the disciples thought he was referring to physical food. So you have a number of unfolding truths. But coming back to what we saw last week, the woman, well, number one, she thought the Savior was only a Jew, Jewish, and she was quite astounded that he would talk to her. He does tell her in chapter 4, verse 22, that salvation is of the Jews. Our Savior was Jewish. Our Bible was Jewish. The great covenant with Abraham that will be fulfilled is Jewish. The gates to the New Jerusalem have Jewish names on them. And so he would tell her that. But she saw him only as a Jewish person. And then she goes a step further. There's an increase in her comprehension of the one that she's talking to. And beginning at chapter 4, verse 10, she says, are you greater than Jacob? And so she says, you know, Jacob gave us his land. And but then he tells her and shows her that, yes, he's greater than Jacob. And then the matter of her own personal life, he deals with her on that. And then she goes a step further and she says, thou art a prophet. A prophet. So she understands that truth, though she wants to discuss some other things rather than what he was wanting to discuss with her. And then now, beginning at verse 25, there is this understanding. He is the Christ. And so you have this step-by-step-by-step development of truth here. And her eyes are opened, and she understands, she believes, and she proves her faith by becoming so excited, so thrilled, and it is a faith. And you know, there may be steps leading to our conversion experience. There may be a long period of steps, but actual conversion is an immediate thing. That's what we've got, that the Jehovah's Witnesses that we see everywhere on the streets of London now don't have. You've got to go through a long process with them, and they want to teach you and teach you and teach you, and then it's just beyond the next corner that you can have some assurance, but you get there and know there's some more that you've got to know. But this lady was saved immediately. She believed in Christ, and immediately she becomes a witness for him. It's amazing that the disciples went to Sychar to get some bread. She went to Sychar to win some souls. It's amazing that Andrew, in chapter 1, led his one brother to the Lord. She attempts on her own to go out and win an entire town to the Lord. As a matter of fact, the more we look at this fourth chapter, she becomes one of the greatest evangelists in the New Testament that we can see, that we know about. And it's amazing. It is quite remarkable. And so here she does it, and everything about it. She came to the well that day to fill her pitcher. And as we all know, and we like to talk about this, and preachers have made this statement all through the centuries, she becomes so happy and excited and thrilled with faith in Christ that she leaves the pitcher at the well. She forgets it. And she's got the harvest fields, and immediately she hasn't had enough training to do this. Oh no, she needs to go to Bible college. Oh no, she needs to go through a 12-week discipleship. No, she didn't. She knew she had Christ, and immediately she starts getting the Word of God out. And that's wonderful. And so here was indeed a well of water springing up into everlasting life, and it flowed through her to others, and she tells many in Samaria about what the Lord has done for her. And we see the Lord himself, the master soul winner. In the cool of the evening, he deals with Nicodemus. In the heat of noonday, he deals with this lady. Nicodemus had many merits, but they could not admit him to eternal life. This lady had many demerits, but they could not prevent her from coming to eternal life. And so, so much here is so wonderful. And she caught immediately a vision of the harvest. And just before the Lord, we saw this phrase repeated a couple of times, that he said, the hour cometh, and she realized, yes, the hour does come. That portion in verse 23 and in verse 21, the hour cometh. And as far as what her responsibility was, she knew the hour had come. She wasn't going to put it off. And immediately she goes and tries to win the town of Sychar to the Lord. And she does pretty good. Well, notice this. Let's go and look at the, that's kind of an overview, but let's look at some of the scriptures that we've got here. You'll notice she said in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, the Christ. And so the Samaritans did have something of an understanding of the Old Testament, and something of that had gathered to them. There's what is known as the Samaritan Pentateuch. It's one of the old Bibles that we have today. So they did understand, but like the Jewish people, they added a lot to it. But she knew that the Messiah was coming. And that was good. And in verse 26, the Lord, notice how he answers her statement in verse 25. He says unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You'll notice the I am there. I that speak unto thee am he. I am. John 8, verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Except you believe on me, believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, John 8, 24. And then that famous passage in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Moses said, the Lord said to Moses, Moses asked, whom shall I say to Pharaoh sent me? And the Lord said, tell them that I am has sent me. Sent thee. Tell them that I am that I am. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Here is a statement of deity. Here is a statement that Christ indeed is Jehovah. Here's a statement of his eternality. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. But you'll notice that a number of times, particularly in the Gospel of John. And so, and then the disciples came back. They went to Sychar. They came back with some food, and they marveled that he talked with her. But later on, the Jewish rabbis would forbid any a rabbi to speak to a woman in public. And the Talmud said a lot about this. By the way, there's always a diversion. For the Jewish people, the great diversion has been the Talmud. Rather than just read their Old Testament, they have to read it through the eyes of the Talmud. That confuses things. With Roman Catholics, the great diversion was the church fathers. Rather than just read the Bible, they had to, see it through the eyes of early church fathers. And so there's always a diversion. But here, they marveled that he talked with her. And then that wonderful passage there in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come see a man that told me everything that I did, and is not this the Christ? So the woman immediately, without any further ado, sets out to try to win the town to the Lord. The disciples went to the town. Whether they got any tracts out in the town, we don't know. Whether they spoke to anybody in the town, we do not know. We're not aware that they did. But this lady immediately goes to the town and tries to be a soul winner. And the verses before where we saw, the hour cometh. And I do think that when we come to Christ, we have a sense of the hour that has come. We begin, after we become a believer, to know that time is not our own. And time is at a great premium. And we better make the most of it. And indeed, the night cometh when no man can work. And so how much time do we have to serve in the harvest fields? And this lady wasn't aware that she had a whole lot of time. She said, well, I think I'll wait a while before doing this. But no, she went immediately and she told them. And so here is quite a remarkable thing. She caught a vision of the harvest that the Lord is going to speak of here immediately went out. And so that was very good. I know we're to do things decently in order. I know that whoever that pot of water was for, her or anyone else, they might have gotten thirsty that day. I don't know, but they might have. And we do have to do things decently in order. We don't want to leave loose ends. But there was a dying to self. There was a making Christ and his witness first in her life, immediate. And so that is very good. It goes on there, and we see that just as she confused physical water to begin with spiritual water, so the disciples now confuse physical bread with spiritual bread. And so it says in verse 4, in verse 31, in the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And indeed, that's normal. But he tells them of something far more important. It is important to feed the hungry. Absolutely. Many are doing that. It is important to feed the hungry spiritually. Few are doing that. Be one of those that are doing that, getting the Word of God out. And notice how it goes on in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have a meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? So they're confusing the spiritual with the physical. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, we got plenty of time, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And so look at it. The hour has come. If you know Christ, you memorize a few verses, you mark some passages in your Bible, take your New Testament out, take some of these tracts out. It's all Scripture. Give out the Word of God. By the way, one thing I do carry with me now. In the front of a King James Bible, it does say that it's given by, I've forgotten the actual wording, Order of the Queen, or Order of Her Majesty. And so if anybody ever challenges you out on the street in passing out a gospel tract, I've got this photocopied, and I'm carrying it, I can say, well, you know, it's Her Majesty is... has us do this, so we can do this, and actually there it's a legal thing, and I think others are doing this, and so at the front of the King James Bible to just photocopy that front page and carry it with you, and if somebody does ask you, because things are a little bit more difficult for us out there, we do need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 6:10-16. So I do carry that. But what we give out is the Word of God. And it's John 1, it's John 3, it's Scripture, it's how to be saved, it's who Christ is in John 1. It's the great you must be born again passage in John 3. Sometimes we like to give out it closer to Easter, John 19, the death of Christ on the streets of London. John 20, the resurrection of Christ. Very straightforward. A person can read it, believe it, and that's what we do. So, but we try to do it as much as we're able. So, immediately, she launched out. She becomes, on reflection, one of the greatest soul winners of the New Testament. Amazing, amazing. And again, it goes on, it talks about those who sow, those who reap, whatever God leads us to do, whether we're more of a sower or more of a reaper, or maybe we're a little bit of both, yes, but both are very important. And so we've got that. And then notice there was quite a response to this lady. An immediate response. Notice that word many in verse 39. and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. They could see the change in her life. And they, what she said, maybe she didn't have too many scriptures memorized yet. We want to memorize some and be able to apply the script, but there was a powerful witness there. And so, again, going back to chapter 4, verse 14, what has happened here is kind of a spiritual illustration of what we've got in chapter 4, verse 14. People want to say, how does this work? How would I know that I'm experiencing chapter 4 and verse 14? Let's notice it. It says, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. It doesn't stay within you unto eternal life. Now you've got a similar passage to this in John 7:38 and 39. And so how does it work? We receive Christ. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and we just got to get the Bible out. And it flows through us. The Word of God flows across the dry and parched land to those that do not know Christ. That's one of the ways that, and she immediately demonstrates how we interpret chapter 4, verse 14. And that's very, very good. And then you'll notice also, I'm going to stretch things maybe a little bit here, but you'll forgive me, that he would tarry with them 2 days. 2 days. I find that very good. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Keep your place here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Anytime we've got an opportunity to say anything about the second coming of Christ, we want to take it. And this is my one opportunity in this morning's message. We'll be saying a lot more about it this evening. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, but beloved, believe not, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So 2 days, 2,000 years. 2 days, primarily the Gentiles that have been taking the gospel out. Last 2,000 years. Israel's been kind of pushed a little bit to the background. The clock is going to start ticking. Daniel's 70 weeks are going to start ticking very shortly. And God again returns with regard to his ancient people, brings them to faith in the Messiah. But you'll notice here, 2 days. 2 days. Let me stretch it a little bit further. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. Verses 33 to 35. Keep your place again in John 4. Luke chapter 10, verses 33 to 35. Also deals with a Samaritan. Look for similarities when you're studying your Bible, similar expressions. And this is a remarkable one. The case of the Good Samaritan. And again, a Gentile, really. And it says, but a certain Samaritan in chapter 10, verse 33, here's a man that fell among thieves. The religious leaders ignored him, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. And I'm going to say, well, that's kind of, you know, we try to reach the lost. Last 2,000 years, we've been giving out the 2 pence. And we kind of take care of people after they've come to Christ. And yes, we give them what they need as much as we're able. And so the 2 pence, the 2 days, I think is probably, we could elaborate on it a bit more, a picture of the age. It's been the Gentiles. It's been those saved out of who knows where, brought up out of a horrible pit, made to stand on a rock, and God has saved them, and they've gone out with the gospel, and they've gone out and yet with the word of God and applying it in many different ways. So the 2 pence, the 2 days, in both cases, Samaritans, something to think about. Christ indeed is coming back. And we believe that very, very, it's very near. And so I also notice this woman goes into the city, reaches them solely by word of mouth. She didn't have a printing press yet. She didn't have Bibles, but she had what she had. I noticed she didn't have to perform any miracles. Because later on in this very chapter, the Lord rebukes them, the nobleman, or those around the nobleman, in chapter 4, verse 48, where he says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." So here, the Samaritans came to faith without a miracle. They didn't see any bread suddenly produced. They didn't see the lame beginning to walk. They just believed. And isn't that wonderful? And the Lord is actually rebuking those that He's dealing with in the latter part of this chapter by referring back, contrasting, paralleling, that many Samaritans had come without a miracle. So that's good. So that's good. And and then again, you'll notice the many in verse 39 becomes many more in verse 41. And many more believed because of His own word. She brought them to Christ, and then He spoke to them and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now she could only point a person to Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 3, verse 8, "Salvation is of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." When more and more we're looking to Christ rather than John the Baptist, John the Baptist said he must increase, we must decrease. She's just humbly done what she could. She's pointed people to the Savior, and she realizes there's a limit maybe to how much she can do. But what an example this is of immediately trying to be a winner of the lost. And I don't, you will struggle to find an example anywhere in the entire New Testament that exceeds what we see the woman of Samaria doing. She left her pitcher behind. But she may have forgotten that, but she made up for it in some other things she did. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord, this is just such a wonderful story and account. And Indeed, our Savior said he must needs go through Samaria. We now know why he must needs go through Samaria. All that happened there, can you believe it? And again, just, and this is what a wonderful example this is of what it means to have living water well up in our lives and then begin to flow through us to the unconverted. And so that is a wonderful thing when we thank the Lord that he's given us this account of the woman of Samaria. Do you know Christ today? Have you trusted him? Are you believing on him? Yes, as we saw, there were steps leading to this lady's conversion. And yes, Christ was Jewish. Yes, Christ was greater than Jacob. Yes, Christ was a prophet. But then she immediately acknowledges, when she said, "We know that Messiah cometh." And then Christ said in the next verse, "I that speak unto thee am he." And that was it. And she became a believer. And the disciples came back with their load of bread. And they no doubt could have offered her maybe a little bit of it. But she had something better to do. And immediately she went out and did it. The Lord had twice before in the conversation said, "The hour cometh, the hour cometh." For her, she knew that the hour had come for salvation, but also to get out into those harvest fields. And how wonderful it was. And first it was many, and then many more. We would be pressed to see an example of personal soul winning in the New Testament that resulted in as many as this. Of course, we have Peter on the day of Pentecost, but how many others places we can find, I do not know. I cannot imagine. Father, we are thankful today. Thank Thee, Father, for the Bible. Thank Thee, Lord, we can go through it and we can think about it and ponder it, and yes, the need of the physical, but then the spiritual. Yes, physical bread, but spiritual bread. Yes, physical water, but spiritual water. Yes, physical birth, but spiritual birth. Yes, we must be born again. Christ must be lifted up. He must increase. We must decrease. We must needs go through Samaria. And we must worship in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, and just to follow Thee, to live for Thee, to worship Thee. Help us to take care to do things decently and in order, but even a matter of leaving the pitcher at the well to do something better is fine. And so, Father, do help us to really see the most important things for our sojourn here. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name.